and turn around and say hello to somebody right quick. Let them know that you're glad that they're here. Certainly glad to have all of you tuning in online. Thank you for tuning in. Just enjoy the day, man. Enjoy the day. I'm glad that y'all are out there. Certainly everybody that's in this room, and we want to say hello to you. Certainly if you're a guest of ours, we want to say hello. And one way that you can get involved here, just let us hear back from you. Just say hello back to us. If you'll just text that word hello to that number right there that's on the screen, that gives us a chance to hear from you. If you can do that, whether you're in our online community today or right here inside this house. And if you're in the room here, make sure that you stop by and just see us over there at the welcome table. That we've got a gift for you on your way out today, and we'd love to send you away with a gift. And then, not everybody needs these reminders in this digital world, but here we are, and I'm an analog man, all right? I'm an analog man, so I need these reminders. But next Sunday morning at 2 a.m. is the time change right there. And so, if you don't remember to do that, or if you got a dumb phone instead of a smartphone and all that kind of stuff, then make sure you write that down and make sure you get that changed, because if you show up next week at 11 o'clock, we'll already be about wrapping up, you know? And so we want you to be here for that. Just make sure that you are aware of it. And then also, Easter's right around the corner. There's never a better time to invite people to church than on our Easter services. We got Saturday night there for you. I encourage you to kind of come even to that Saturday night service. I think you'll enjoy that. And, of course, the 9 and 11. But it's a great time to invite someone to come with you. More people say yes at Easter than at any other time. And so just invite your friends to come. And then coupled with Easter services, we have an extravaganza for all the kids. It's going to be that Wednesday night prior to Easter. And we really would encourage you to come and have your kids there for that. One other thing is after Easter, we have this thing called a Q&R session. And it's just question and response time that the pastors will field questions from you. And you got a question that you kind of want to submit to us, just click that QR code right there and submit the question. Or if you're an analog person, write it down on the Connect card or whatever and just get that turned in. Because we would love to take a stab at answering some of your questions after Easter. And so here we are, and if you're new to our church, we're going through a series through 2 Corinthians. We're basically just going line by line through it. And you see the tagline there, life is hard, God is good, finding the power of Jesus when you need it most. Life is hard. Anybody agree with that? Absolutely. If you agree with that, just everybody say it together. Life is hard. Life is hard. God is good. You believe in that? Let's say it together. God is good. So life is hard and God is good. I believe that. Last week, we saw a couple of things in our passage last week as we studied through what Paul is saying. And basically, he says what we continue to hear time and time again. First thing he says is life is hard. Again, I think he says it, every week, actually. But he says, Paul is saying that, I'm hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, struck down, but not destroyed. And he just says those kinds of things over and over and over again. So first, life is hard. Then he goes into, but hey, God is good. And he says that every week as well. Because last week he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so God empowers us with supernatural power in our very earthly bodies, in our very fragile bodies, to give us overcoming life so that we can overcome the adversities in life. So he's going to get us through the struggle. So once again, life is hard, but God is good. God's got the power. Last week through our Celebrate Recovery and all of that, we saw that God gives us power whenever we admit that we're powerless and that we admit that we need God's help. That's whenever he steps in. The best way that we can reach out to God, first and foremost, is to reach out in faith to God, reach out to faith in Jesus Christ, and ask Christ to come into our life to save us. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive you for every last one of your sins. And so he forgives us for all of our sins. Why did he do that? Because he loves us so much. I'll say this, I've said it many, many times before, but there's no one on planet Earth that loves you any more than Jesus Christ loves you. Nobody. You may hear in your own sphere of influence people that have given up on you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ will never give up on you. He's there to receive you. His grace is there. His fountain of grace is running toward us. And so we give praise to Him for that. Most important thing is to express that faith and to reach out to Christ to save us. So reaching out in faith. Anybody here got a little faith today? You got any faith today? We got some faith today. We're reaching out. We're reaching out to God because we believe in Him. And it's that faith that really changes everything for us. On the screen here, faith, it changes everything. It gives us a game plan for life. It shows us that, yes, it secures our future in the hereafter, but it gives us a game plan in the here and now. It changes everything for us. We've got to have faith. Faith gives me joy. Faith gives me tenacity. I've got to have joy and tenacity in my faith. Because sure, I mean, when we think of it, you think about what it means to be a Christian, there's a lot of joy there. It's a joyful life to be a Christian. But that doesn't mean that it's easy to be a Christian. Can I get a witness? It is not easy. And so we've got to have this tenacity to go with the joy. You gotta be joyful, but you've also gotta be tenacious. And so whenever I'm tenacious, that just means I hold on to what I believe. I hold on tightly to my God in heaven. I hold on tightly to where God is trying to lead me. I'm steadfast. I'm not shaken easily. I don't give up, but I hold on. I endure. And since there's this joyful endurance, when we have this joyful endurance of going through life in the trenches, it just means, man, you know, we love holding on to it. We love it. We hold on to the faith that we have. And so it's our faith that empowers us to get through a day, to get through this life, knowing that everything that really matters is on the other side of this life in a place called heaven. And so today our passage talks about this faith of ours. And so I want us to look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. If you have a Bible, just turn there with me if you don't mind. We're going to look at about 5 or 6 verses here. And so I just want to kind of read through it. First of all, let's just kind of go through it from start to finish and then we'll kind of pick it apart. Verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what's been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. All right, let's take it from the top. You feel like taking it from the top? Let's go all the way back to the top. How about verse 13? And here's what it says there. It says, since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what's been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. And so if you're taking notes, jot this down. Point number one, and it's this. Having the same spirit of faith, I can't help but share my faith with others. And just for the record here, if you're new to our church, there's a Grace Point app. And you can go on the app and you can actually take notes for all of you digital people, all right? All the people that like the digital way of doing things, you can take notes in the app there at the Grace Point app. But yeah, having the same spirit of faith, I can't help but share my faith with others. You know, Paul, he's going through hardship. He's always going through difficult times, but nothing would deter him. Everything that happened in his life just made him stronger. Everything that happened in his life just made him bolder. And so he couldn't help but speak. People would come against him. All the odds were stacked against him. They said, hey, shut your mouth. And all he could do is open his mouth. That's all he could do. He would never shut his mouth. He would just open his mouth and testify to God's good news. Why would he do something like that? Because God changed his life. He couldn't help but speak. You see it there on the screen, verse 13 again. He says there, that underlined part, I believed, and so I spoke. And we also believe, and so we also speak. And so our faith, those of us who say that we believe, I mean, it compels us to speak. It compels us to share with others. It compels us to share our faith with others. I know you've probably heard this before, but it's on the screen here about sharing our faith. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's just simple stuff. It's just sharing our faith. It's just one beggar sharing with another beggar where to find bread. It's all that it is. You share the good news. Hey, I found something. I found something that changes things. I found something that changed my life. And we share that with other people. And so, you know, it's good news. And so we want to share that. And some things are just meant to be shared because there's joy. There's joy in sharing. Joy in sharing things. You know, I think about this just on the opposite of that. Have you ever had something in your life that was very, very special to you, but you didn't want to share it? Any of that ever happened to anybody? You had something special, but you didn't want to share it. Yeah, I can remember a long time ago, me and my best friend, we went to the movies in Lubbock, Texas. I don't know, I was probably 12 or 13 years old. Went to see a James Bond movie. Now, come on, you know, come on. Any Bond fans out there? Yeah, I'm going to pull this out and you're going to see 007 right here now. Come on. No. But yeah, we went to see this James Bond movie. And my friend, he says, hey, I got to go to the restroom. So he goes up to the restroom and here he comes back in just a little bit. And we're in the dark, you know, watching the James Bond movie. And I see him doing something over there next to me. He's doing something like this. He's putting something in his mouth. He didn't go to the restroom. He went to the concession stand, you know. And so I see him doing this number right here, doing this, and I'm like, I hit him on the shoulder, and boom, what you got right there? He had peanut M&Ms, and he did not want to share them. So what did I do? I hit him again, said, give me some of those M&Ms, give me some of those M&Ms. I made him share. But you know, he's a nervous wreck over there not wanting to share. He didn't want to give me none of that. It's just a joy whenever you share good things with your friends. The gospel. Way better than peanut M&Ms. It's got to come out of us. We've got good news to share. We got to share that. And so we believe. We believe, and the good news is just going to come out of us. But it all stems from this faith of ours. And so what does Paul say back on the screen here? What's prompting Paul to speak? What prompts us to speak? Well, Paul says this, since we have this same spirit of faith according to what's been written. Same spirit of faith. I mean, what is that same spirit of faith? Well, for Paul, I mean, same spirit of faith would have been, I mean, a lot of things. It could have been the same spirit of faith that Peter had, John had, the apostles. It could have been the same spirit of faith that all true believers had. He was just running in the rhythm of the spirit of faith. And so that same spirit, he had it and he could not contain but speak. But here's what he says here. He says, it's this same spirit of faith according to what's been written. So what's been written? Well, what's he talking about there? Well, scholars tell us it's a reference to the psalmist's words in Psalm 116. And so Paul is identifying his faith with the psalmist's faith because even though the psalmist was struggling through his life, the psalmist would still, because of his faith, would lift up praise to God. And so Paul could do that. Paul could relate to that. The psalmist believed, therefore he spoke. And Paul would believe, and therefore he would speak. And so I want us to just kind of take a look at this, at this psalmist and what's going on here. Because hardship is a way of life. Let me just be honest with you. Your life will be hard. I said it last week. Don't let anybody tell you that because you're a Christian, you will not go through turmoil or tough times or hardship. It's just not real. That's not the way it rolls. In fact, God is going to use suffering and intensity in your life and trials in your life to make you stronger. He's going to take you through the tough times in your life to get you all the way to heaven. And so don't let anybody tell you any differently. Yeah, you will have hardship in your life. But there's something that we keep learning, right? Life is hard, but what? God is good. We see that in the psalm right here, Psalm 116. He says this, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. Man, I could just stop right there, couldn't you? I'm just so grateful that God heard my cry. Those especially those early days when I first cried out whenever I needed life change in my life. I'm so glad that He heard my plea for mercy. And just to set the record straight, He hears my cry for mercy weekly, daily, probably moment by moment. But I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my plea for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. I suffered distress and anguish. You got any distress today in your life? You got any anguish in your life? You got any trial in your life? He said, oh, I suffered for that. But then I called in the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, deliver me. Deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. For You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And then here's the line that they kind of tie into what Paul's saying today. He says, I believed, even whenever I was speaking, man, I am greatly afflicted. He's speaking out in faith. I believed even when I was going through the hardship there. And so what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. It's like, Lord, I just lift up my cup. I lift up my life. I lift up my life to You, and I call on You, and I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. And so what He's going to do here is he's going to speak out in front of everybody. In front of everybody. There's no inhibitions in His life. He's going to praise the Lord. And that's how He ends the psalm. He ends the psalm with praise the Lord. And so that's beautiful to me. It's encouraging to me. It helps me. If you're going through discouragement today, let that encourage you. And even in the middle of all of that, he just comes to the very end there, and the last three words, praise the Lord. Let's just say that together. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's what we do, because we know that we have the same faith that the psalmist had. We have the same faith that the apostle Paul had. We believe, and so we also will speak. And so that's exactly what Paul was doing. Paul is saying, man, we got to let the whole world know. We got to let the whole world know that Jesus is the light, that Jesus is the life, and that Jesus is where forgiveness is, that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. We want to let people know. And so we share that faith with others. There's no inhibitions here. There's no holding back. He says, the psalmist said, I'm going to do it in front of the whole assembly. And maybe you're not going to have a chance to come up here on the platform and do it in front of a whole assembly. But God gives you opportunities in the trenches of your life, in the nitty-gritty details of your life, just one life at a time. I'm not trying to say that you run over people and you bulldog people or you bulldoze people. Nobody wants to be bulldozed into the gospel. But you love people, and you're looking for those opportunities to share that message with others. You're not ashamed of it. Paul says it right here in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed. Let's just read this verse out loud together. Here we go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so whenever I see all that, I have to ask myself, you know, I want you to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, have I spoken up lately for the things I believe? I believe, so I speak. We believe, so therefore we speak. We share our faith with others. And then look what he says next. Catching up with verse 13 and spilling over into 14, we see this, having the same faith according to what's been written. I believe, so I speak. We believe, so we speak. And then verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So what do we see here? Well, if you're taking notes, this is what I see. Having the same spirit of faith, I live knowing that there is so much more than just life in this world. So much more than just life in this world. I heard that hallelujah over here. I like it. Hallelujah. Let's just say hallelujah together. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's so much more than just life in this world. And that's why we've got to have this spiritual tenacity. That's why we've got to have this joyful endurance. You see, Christian joy doesn't mean that we have to celebrate adversity or we have to celebrate suffering by putting a fake smile on our face and act like everybody's singing happy birthday to us, all right? We don't have to do that. Christian joy is so much more than that. It's not acting like you're happy when you're suffering. It's not acting like you're happy when the non-Christian world's coming against you. It's not acting like you're happy whenever you're sinking in the depths of strangleholds in your life and strongholds in your life and temptation and all of that. You don't have to pretend to be happy there. It's not putting on a happy face whenever you're sick and you've got bad news going on in your life. It's not happy whenever you're just going through any kind of trial. But whenever you have Christian joy, it's not necessarily what's on your face, it's what's in your heart. And because you've got faith in your spirit, faith in your heart, you're able to grind through the adversity in life, all the things that keep coming against you, but you've got joy on the inside because you know that God's not through with you yet. And that there's more to life than what meets the eye, and you're going to see all of this in the passage today. And that there's just more than what this life has to offer. There really is. Here's a verse that you probably heard before. James chapter 1. And it says, hey, about trials in the here and now, count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so whenever you have enduring joy, and you have Christian joy, it's like you understand the deep things of God. You understand the deep things of God. You know that there's more than just this life in front of you. And you know that even as you're going through the most difficult of circumstances, that God is at work in you and that He's preparing you for heaven. And in the meantime, He's making a man out of you. He's making a woman out of you. He's making a man of God out of you. He's making a woman of God out of you. That's what He's doing. And the goal in the Christian life, and you know this, but the goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus. And so I have to ask myself, am I becoming like Jesus in my everyday life? Well, God helps us with that. And sometimes that comes through suffering. And so, is your life full of difficulties today? Is your life full of temptations today? Then be joyful. Because when things are rough, your faith has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let it grow. Let God grow you. Don't try to squirm out of your problems or anything like that. Let God grow you and let faith come alive in you. And when faith comes alive in you and faith has its way with you and God has His way with you, you become strong in character and you can face anything this life has to offer. So that's just life in the trenches. Consider it joy. Let your faith grow, knowing that there's more, so much more than just life in this world. But Paul also gives us a glimpse, not only of getting through the circumstances of this world, knowing that there's more, but he also just tells us and reassures us of where we're all heading. Take a look at this. Verse 14 on the screen, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And so this is our faith. There's so much more than just what's in front of us. So much more than what meets the eye. So much more than just living and dying. So much more than just life as we know it right here, right now. You know, you think about all the things that we value here. And I'm just throwing stuff out. I'm not saying these are your values. Nothing wrong with any of this. But a party on the patio. Having a really, 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 really good time. Listen, I want you to have a good time. I want you to enjoy your life. But that's not the end game here in this life. Riches and prosperity and all of that, that's not the end game here. Now, I want you to have more than enough. I want you to have everything that God wants you to have. And God wants to bless you, that's for sure. But He's also going to take you through the depths of trials. But here's the deal. Sometimes we get our focus on money. We get our focus on riches. We get our focus on promotions and all these kinds of things. And all that's fine and dandy. But that's not the end game here. A little more of this, a little more of that, a little more of this, a little more of that. That's not the end game. There's more than just this life. And really, in the end of it all, what matters in this life is way, way, way secondary to what's going to happen in the next life. But then he goes on and he talks about this idea here of, in my mind, he's talking here about going to the next life. And so here's what we all have to know as well, that death in this life, physical death, it's not the end game either. You know, we are going to pass through death. Are y'all with me? I've heard somebody say that death is not the end of you. Death is not your termination, but it's your transition into eternity. And so God has purpose for our lives here in this life, no doubt. God has a purpose for every single one of us. He creates opportunities for us in this life, no doubt about it. But our greatest opportunities are not in this life. Our greatest opportunity is in the next life. And our greatest opportunity is whenever we pass from this life into the next life and we are in His presence. That's what it says. We're going to be in His presence. I just remember one of the guys I like to read a lot, you've heard me say it, but Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, whenever he died and he went to heaven, a telegram was sent to his loved ones, and all that it said was, Oswald in His presence. Oswald in His presence. I mean, he made it. He got through that experience of death and he went to the next and he got to be in the very presence of Jesus. But we just have to know that this world is not our home. There's so much more than just this life. The Apostle John talks about it too. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And he says, and this world is fading away. We live like it's not fading away, but he says it's fading away. Along with everything that people crave, it's all fading away. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And so Paul's just reminding us, having the same faith, we live for something more. We know that there's so much more than only the here and now. Now, back on the screen here, picking it back up, verse 13 and 14, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, we know, knowing that He raised the Lord Jesus, and He'll raise us with Jesus and bring us into His presence, we just got to know that is the ultimate goal. So don't be discouraged today. You're discouraged, you're going through a hard time, you're discouraged, don't be discouraged. Be tenacious. Hold on to that enduring joy. Find your way through it, knowing that we still have a ways to go to reach our ultimate goal of being in the presence of Christ. But what does he say next? Take a look at this. Verse 15. He says, for it is all for your sake. All he's talking about there, when he says it's for your sake, is just that he's willing to go through the suffering just so that people can find life in Jesus Christ. So he's willing to go through the suffering, and then it goes here, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. I love this passage. I love anything that talks about God's grace extending to more and more people. I love that. So if I'm writing notes or I'm taking notes, what would I say? I'd say this. Having the same spirit of faith, when I see the grace of God spreading to others, I give thanks to God. That's all that it's saying. I give thanks to God. And so it's spreading. Whenever we see it spreading, and you know, we're supposed to be spreading it, we spread it, and then we see it spreading. We see it spreading all around us. We see it spreading in this church. We see it spreading in this community. There's pockets where God's at work, and we see life change happen, and we see the grace of God extending to one person after another. Take a look at the screen there. You just see it. I'm just reading it to you so that you see it one more time very clearly. This grace, it extends to more and more people so that it may increase thanksgiving and glory to God. And so it was a movement. Paul was a part of a movement, and he's seen the grace of God. That song's just still in my mind, the fountains of grace running to you. It's just like the fountain of God's grace is just saturating the area, and one life change after another. One more person's life is changed, you give glory to God. Another person's life is changed, you give glory to God. Another person's changed, you give glory to God. We saw some testimonies last week of people's lives through CR, whose their lives have been changed. You give glory to God. God's grace extending from one person to another, it should always increase the glory of God. And so, when we see the grace of God spreading, we know that, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. But you know, I've heard of churches where the grace of God started spreading to more and more people, and more people, they weren't really all that thankful. They didn't thank God and glorify Him. No, they were a little bit frustrated that somebody took their seat. Right? I've heard this. And I wrote it when I was writing my little notes here. That kind of brought a smile on my face, but really, it's just sad. Sad. They're not. They don't celebrate what God's doing in their lives. They instead of celebrating and saying, "Hey, I'm so glad to hear what God's doing in your life," we give glory to God. We give thanksgiving and praise to God. They come up and say, "You know, hey, you got my seat." Happens. But I can't imagine somebody thinking something like that. I mean, when you see all this happening, we should just be giving praise and glory to God. The last thing should be on our minds is where everybody's sitting. We want to spread the grace of God to more and more people. And we want to thank God. And just because we're so amazed to see it, we're even willing to give up our seats, aren't we? Uh-huh. Y'all know what I'm getting at, right? So take a look at the screen right here. Move to the middle. Y'all know about this. And all this is saying is make a little space for people. Make a little space for people. I know all my friends like to sit on the ends, and I love all of y'all. I want you to have it every week. But whenever you look around and you see that people are trying to find a seat, you help them. You've helped them find that place. Up here on the front row, my parents, you know, they go to this church and nobody sits on the front row. But they're amazed that people sit on the front rows up here, you know. And y'all know these are the most expensive tickets in the church, right? Y'all know that, right? I'm just making sure y'all know. I said this in the first service, and I've probably said it here before, but I remember this young man. He had a lot of struggles in his life. He no longer lives here. But he would come to the church, and he was a real young guy, but he'd sit on the front row over here with me, and he came to see me one day, and so I said, "Hey, man, why do you sit on the front row?" And he said, "Well, that's where the power of God is, you know. So y'all need to all move a little further, create a little space." But yeah, we want to celebrate what God's doing. And we want to certainly give glory to God. Look what he says after this. He says this in verse 16. He says, "So we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. Why? Because they continue to see the grace of God spreading. You see little life, it's coming to life. More and more people are receiving the grace. More and more people are receiving Christ. More and more people are being ushered into heaven. And so we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to let something hold us back from continuing to share that message with the world around us. Just not going to do it. Paul said, we will not lose heart. So what do we say if we're taking notes? Jot this down. Having the same spirit of faith, I just don't give up. I don't give up. I keep pressing on. And so even when it's tough sailing, we know that God's not through. We know that God's at work, that God's not finished. He's not finished, and he's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's always up to something. He is always working. On the screen, you see this. God is always at work in us, and he always wants to do something through us to impact the people around us. Do you know that God wants to do something through you, not only something in you? He wants to start in you. He wants to do something in you, but you are a channel of blessing. And so you're not a reservoir that receives the blessing and holds it to yourself or hides it for yourself and hoards it for yourself, kind of like my buddy with the M&Ms. No, you share those things. So he wants to do something in you, but he wants to do something through you to impact people around you. We say it like this here around Grace Point. It's on the screen. Love God, love people, change the world. We love God, and when we love people the way God loves people, and we receive people the way God receives people, then we can more effectively point them to Jesus Christ, who will change their lives. That's what that's all about. That's who we are. We love to see the gospel of grace spreading to more and more people, and we will not lose heart. I don't know how many times Paul talks about losing heart. Many, many times. I should have looked all that up. But over and over again, he just wants to be an encouragement to you and to me. Hey, keep going. Life is hard. God is good. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. God is on your side. Keep moving. Keep taking that step. Keep going. God's got a plan for you. He says this over in Galatians chapter 6. He says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not what? Give up. If we don't give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, that word opportunity kind of resonates with me, because whenever we think of opportunity, oftentimes we're thinking about our careers, or maybe there's an opportunity to date a guy or to date a girl or whatever. And so you're looking for your opportunities. You want that promotion at work, and so you're looking at your opportunity, a chance to increase your education. So you say, hey, here's my opportunity. And all those are great, and I'm all for it. I really am. But how about some opportunities to do good to people around you? You start looking for opportunities. Don't only look for the next promotion. Look for those opportunities to do good to people. People in your work world, people in your family, people in your neighborhood, people, your friends. Do good to everyone, it says, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We don't want to lose heart. We want to do what He's calling us to do. We don't want to give up. We want to keep pressing on, because God wants to use every single one of us to build His kingdom on earth and take us all the way to heaven. So take a look at the screen, verse 16 and 17. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So what do I see there? I mean, wow, what a heavy and powerful passage of Scripture. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number 5, having the same spirit of faith, I know that God is growing me on the inside and preparing me for eternity. He's growing me on the inside. Growing me on the inside, preparing me for eternity. You know, Paul says, our outer self is wasting away. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about skin and bones. That's what he's talking about. These bodies weren't made to live forever in this physical sense. They're made to live forever in a spiritual sense. We're going to be with God forever in a kingdom called heaven if we have faith in Jesus Christ. But these earthly bodies of ours, it's all decaying. And so we kind of have to ask ourselves, what's the most important thing? Is it our outer self or our inner self? Is my physical body what's most important to me? Or is it my spirit? Is it what God's doing on the outside or what God's doing on the inside of me? We got to kind of look at that. What's the most important thing? And it's kind of interesting to me. I mean, I keep up with sports and news and that kind of stuff. I mean, all my life I've been in the newspapers back in the day. Anybody know what a newspaper is? I'm just wondering. I told y'all I'm an analog guy, right? I love those newspapers. I don't get them anymore. But back in the day when you had those newspapers, you could keep reading and you could just skip all those ads, you know. But nowadays in the digital world, you know, you look at it and all these ads pop up, right? I'm just trying to get the news or the sports or whatever, and all these ads are there. And then sometimes our worship leader, Blair, will ask me to go to YouTube and look at this song and pull up the lyrics so I can see what the lyrics are saying and all that. And just about every time, you know, this little ad pops up. And I do know, people came up to me and said, you know, you can skip those things, right? After about 5 seconds or so. But every once in a while, they kind of get my attention, you know. And so, if you follow one of those ads, they'll tell you that they found the fountain of youth, you know. And yeah. And so I've seen one before where they found this olive oil, not just any olive oil, but their olive oil. And if you subscribe to their olive oil, well, then you can, you know, it's just $300 a bottle, but you got to subscribe to it. You know, I mean, you got to get on their mailing list or whatever. And they'll sell you this olive oil as magic juice or something, but it'll make you live forever. I saw that one time. That didn't really get my attention, but this one did. I just saw it this week, and it has to do with coffee. And if you just drink coffee, now I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a coffeeholic. I like my coffee black. I love to drink black coffee. But this thing said, hey, if you just drink coffee, you can drink it black or you can drink it however you want to. You can drink it with all that cream and sugar, frou-frou stuff. I think they call it a macchiato or something like that. You know what a macchiato is? See, it's one of them fancy drinks. It's one of them that has about 500 calories on it. But it don't matter, because it don't matter if you drink coffee. If you drink coffee and you take their little concoction, their little pill, I mean, it's like you can do whatever you want to. It's like you found the fountain of youth. They actually even said, that if you drink the coffee and you take their stuff, and of course if you subscribe to their stuff, then you can eat big, fat, juicy hamburgers all you want every day. And you will continue to lose weight and you'll just look phenomenal. And man, you can live forever. And so I see all that and I'm like, I just want everybody to know, here's what I've decided. I am going to drink a lot of coffee, and I am going to eat big, fat, juicy hamburgers, and I am going to take their pill. And I just want everybody to know what's going on when y'all see all my hair start growing back. All right. I just want y'all to know, because it's coming back. I'm rising from the dead, baby. Come on. Yeah. But interestingly enough, Paul doesn't tell us it works that way. Paul says our outer self is wasting away. A hard dose of reality. And so, yeah, doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself and all that. But he's saying, look, our outer self is wasting away. Outwardly, he says this, we're going down, but inwardly, he changes gears. He gives us real hope. This is not drink this coffee, take this pill, or drink this olive oil. He's just saying, look, I'm going to give you something real that you can depend on. This will change your life. He says, in this life, we're going down. But being renewed day by day, we are going up. God is going to take us from this life into the next life. And so we know that God is growing us on the inside. Take a look. Verse 16 again on the screen. He says our inner self is being renewed. Everybody say it. Day by day. Every day. God is on the move. God is at work. He's giving us something more to live for than everything that we see in this life. How does he grow us? You're not going to like this. Just telling you. How does he grow us? Well, he tells us. Verse 17, this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And so I've said it already, I do believe. But God often uses suffering in our lives to fine-tune us. He really does. I don't know what you're grinding through. Maybe you're having to grind through a trial right now. But it's increasing your faith. If you just allow God to do his thing, it will increase your faith. Maybe it's a set of difficult temptations that you're facing. And you're thinking, man, I just wish this stuff would just get off of me. But look, he'll grow you through it if you surrender it and you give it to God. And you trust God with your life. He will show you how to get there. He's growing you on the inside. But a lot of times it comes through tough times. It comes through trials and tribulation and temptation and all the junk that we have to face in this life. And all the junk in this life ought to propel us to want to go to the next life. One of these days we'll graduate from this stuff. We get to go and spend all our time with him. Somebody might ask, well, what are these light and momentary afflictions that he's talking about? I mean, light, momentary, everything that I'm going through, nothing light about them at all. Nothing very momentary. It seems like the stuff I'm going through, I've been going through it for months. Never ends. And so with each step I take, it's just one more step into a hard, hard life. It's a hard life, a heavy load to bear. I mean, my job is hard. My marriage is hard. My life is hard. Everything's hard. My life is heavy, and I think I'll take Paul's light and momentary afflictions over mine any day. I say, well, no, you won't. No, you won't. Paul's light and momentary afflictions are probably heavier than any of ours ever will be. But Paul looks at them in light of eternity. And so even the heaviness of everything he goes through, he says, it's light. Even though it seems like it's going on forever, he says, it's momentary. Compared to where I'm heading, compared to where I'm going. So just take a look at some of the things that he went through. If I want to trade places with Paul, I just don't think I'm going to want to, because here's what it says. We'll get to this later as we study through Corinthians, but it's just a glimpse of it. With far greater labors, with far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I've said this before, but no, he wasn't in Colorado. Nope. Some of you, it may be new to you, think, well, what do you mean he was stoned? Well, they didn't put them on the firing block like we do nowadays or what we've seen in our lifetime. But they would put them on the stoning block. Line them up over there and everybody get these big, huge rocks and just continue to throw at them and throw at them until they bled on, probably internal bled to death. That was what that's all about if you're wondering what it is. I wouldn't want to do that. Anybody here want to trade places with Paul on that one? I don't think so. Three times I was shipwrecked, and you can read down through there if it's just going on. Danger on every side. Danger here, danger there, danger everywhere. I mean, many times he was without food. He's suffering from hunger and starvation. He's even out in the cold and the exposure. I mean, it just doesn't look like a very good deal. And so whenever I look at my life, I could put all of my trials and tribulations and temptations and everything in one big ball. And I wouldn't want to trade it all for one of his. Don't think so. So I don't think we want to trade places with him. But here's the difference between Paul and me. Because he had this same faith, he could see that even though his life was hard, that God was growing him on the inside and God was preparing him for the life to come. We just always have to remember that. So, God's growing you on the inside. God's preparing you for eternity. Don't forget it. Last little piece of wisdom here from 2 Corinthians verse 17 and 18 on the screen for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for that eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. They're temporal. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So, what is God saying to me there? I think this is what he's saying to me. Maybe you want to write it down. Having the same spirit of faith, number 6, I focus my vision on things that the human eye cannot see. Focus on the things that the human eye cannot see. I've got to have a vision. I've got to see beyond. I've got to have eyes that only eyes of faith can see that's beyond here. Not everybody can see it. To see what's not seen, it takes the eyes of faith. Because anybody can see what is seen. I mean, everything we see in the physical world, anything that we can see right here, right now. You know, every single thing you lay your eyes on, listen, is temporal. Except you and me. We are the only thing in this room that is built for eternity. This is not built for eternity. This right here, this little instrument right here, it's not built for eternity. Only you. Those chairs aren't built for eternity. This building, not built for eternity. Only you have been crafted for eternity. And so we are the only thing that get to go from this life into the next life. We say it all the time, but really the only thing that really matters is not what we see, but what we don't see. We've got to see that God is at work, God is on the move, and that God has a plan and purpose for everybody in this life and in the life to come. But not everybody can see it. Jesus said so himself. Look at Matthew 13. He says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull.'" That part kind of, that's why I'm always praying for us to have soft hearts to God. Don't let it get dull. Don't miss out on what God is saying to you. Be a person that can see it. Be a person that can hear it. It says, "For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. And with their eyes they've shut them. They don't want to see it. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." But no, they've hardened their hearts. They've shut their eyes. They've shut down their hearts. They don't want to hear. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear." You see, you're blessed because you can see it, but not everybody can see it. You know, I talk about people in my life, and I can remember after I gave my life to Christ, there in my teenage years, one of my friends, he came to me, and he said, "John, man, this Christianity stuff, man, it is just a figment of your imagination. It's just a figment of your imagination. And I said, oh no, it's not a figment of my imagination. I've seen it. I felt it. I know it's real. And I tried to share my faith with him. But you know, not everybody's going to see it. Not everybody's going to open their eyes to it. Not everybody's going to open their heart to it. Not everybody's going to have soft hearts. Some are going to just resist it. But I don't want that to be anybody in this room. I want you to receive what God has for you in this life, but knowing that this life is not all that there is. Really, the only thing that matters is what's coming in the future. And you know what I mean by that. Everything is important, but that's most important. And then listen to this. Peter gets in on the action here as well. And Peter says it like this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Man, I don't know about you, but just that line encourages me a whole lot. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Hope it encourages you. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. And so, having the same spirit of faith, it gives us the eyes of faith so that we can see, so we can understand, and that we can experience all that God has for us in the here and now and in the hereafter. That's what's going to carry me in this life. It's my faith. It'll carry me all the way to heaven. And so today, you're here. I don't know what God's saying to you, but will you say yes to Him? There's never a better moment in your life, ever, than when you are saying yes to Jesus. The times that I would say I regret in my life, or any time that I slowly resisted what God was telling me to do. None of us like to think that we're defiant to God, but we do. We resist. We get in the flesh and we kind of slowly resist what God's telling us to do. Whenever I resist Him, that leads to regret in my life. What leads to joy in my life is whenever I say yes to God, even in the hardest of things. The most important time you say yes to God is whenever you feel Him calling your heart, calling you, saying, hey, I want you in my family. Hey, I died on the cross for you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I've not forgotten you. I've not forgiven you. I've not forgiven you. I've come to die for you. I've come to give my life for you. And all I want is for you to come and be a part of everything that I have for you in this world and in the life to come. So would you come? If you don't mind, just bow your heads just for a minute. If you've never prayed to receive Christ, that's the most important thing. If you have any questions about it, certainly talk to me or go by the Next Steps room and talk to them. We would be honored to help you gain a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more clarity about what it means to give your life to Jesus. But in a simple way, it's just this. You just say a prayer. You just talk to God. Lord, that's me. I want to receive Jesus into my life. Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life. Give me a brand new life to live. The Lord teaches us in His Word that whenever we call out to Him like that, we go from death to life. We go to being a child of God. And we become brand new people in Christ. And we want to encourage you to take that step today. If you're here and you're a believer and you just kind of got wrapped up in everything that you can see and you've forgotten where your vision is and that you're not looking at the things that are unseen, and so everything that you're seeing has got you so discouraged and so down, and you've kind of lost your hope and you've lost your joy and you've lost that tenacity or whatever it is, get your eyes back on the things that are unseen and let God encourage your spirit today. Here's the deal. The biggest goal in life is that we end up in His presence, right? And that's exactly where God wants to take us. Lord, thank you for loving us like you do. You're an amazing God. We worship you. We praise you. With thanksgiving, we give glory to God when we see your message spreading to those around us. And God, it's our goal to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can, knowing that people are really the only thing that lasts forever. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand and let's sing this song. I long to breathe the air of heaven.
walk with you.
In there where it says it will be worth it. I believe that. How about you? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Father God, we love you today. We praise you. Strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our walk. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless. We'll see you next time.